Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Let's Make a Deal is off and dealing for its 15th hour-long season on CBS, hosted by Wynn Brady, and 60th overall. Executive producer John Quinn joins me next. A unique mix of tune and reality unfolds this week on Apple TV. Belonging. Creator and executive producer and star Eric Baer details all next half hour. And it's P-Day. P is in premiere for In the Black Network, one of the promising ventures we showcased on this program last month. A top early original program is crowned, executive produced by our final half-hour duo, Dr. Celestia Thompson and Jerome Trammell. Also ahead, actors and producers return to nail down a deal, Good Dog TV breaks nationwide, and our new classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and more than 40 other great podcast platforms. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour today is brought to you by online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime, anywhere. A great start of October to you and you, and especially you out there. 77 degrees at the, I should say 74 degrees, just changed, at the top of the hour. And on this first Monday of October, we welcome you to the program all about TV's current and future. We have a super 90 minutes in store for you, great guests each half hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes is a phone call from you. And here's the number you dial, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. We've got the chat room open, too. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn screen, and other people can be live interacting with you. And Let's Make a Deal executive producer John Quinn interacts with us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. Any moment now, representatives of Screen Actors Guild, AFTRA, will return to negotiations for a new multi-year contract with the Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers. It's the first meeting between the two organizations since SAG-AFTRA went on strike mid-July. Several key television executives are expected to be involved in this bargaining session as they weren't resolving the Writers Guild walkout late last month. The top issues, residuals for mega content running series, and parameters for using artificial intelligence. After more than 2 months playing on Fox's pair of New York City TV stations, Good Dog Television is turning into a nationally syndicated affair. The weekly half hour from the American Kennel Club will run on more than 75 stations, mostly in weekend, morning, or afternoon time periods. Participating station owners beside Fox includes Nextstar, Gray TV, and Scripps. The magazine format program features coverage of AAKC events, celebrity dog profiles, and lifestyle tips. Good Dog TV also will run on AKC TV, the 24/7 on-demand service available on Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV. Now, quickies, CBS will kick off the talk's new season, delayed due to the writer's strike, next Monday afternoon. Imagine Entertainment has landed TV rights to gothic novel Midnight is the Darkest Hour on bookshelves tomorrow from popular author Ashley Winstead. Freeform will not go forward with While You Were Breeding, the dramedy based on Kristen Newman's memoir. 10 already produced episodes will be pitched to other TV channels. Docuseries Navajo Police Class 57 will begin to run on HBO October 17th. Max will also carry the series on that day. And for the first time post-pandemic, the TV festival known as Starrable will take place here in New York. The 2023 edition happens November 10th to 12th. And that is news notes for today. And now rejoining us live from Los Angeles, the executive producer of Let's Make a Deal, now in season 15 on CBS, weekday mornings, 10 to 11 o'clock Eastern Pacific time on most CBS stations. It's a great pleasure to have back John Quinn. John, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Simon. Appreciate it.
What's it like getting into season 15, but also during this season you celebrate Let's Make a Deal 60th year on the air?
Yes, we have lots of celebrations this year. To be on the show, to be on the air for 15 seasons, obviously I don't think anyone thought that the little show that could would come back in this iteration and go 15 years. But here we are. I've been there for 5 of the years. But almost like the bigger story that it's been on the years since Monty Hall started it in 1963. And we're doing a big primetime episode this season that celebrates the 60th anniversary, our 60th Jubilee special. So it's fun to work on a show that really looks, you know, you can go back. It's like a time capsule. You look at the show, you know, all through the, you know, the aughts, the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, and 60s. You have clips, you have parts of the show that are still the same. and so many parts of the show that have changed over time.
It seems that since you have been producing the show, John, that one of the things that now makes it more special than ever is that you will always count on one moment that is comes out of the blue with a contestant, with Wayne, with Jonathan Magnum or Tiffany Coyne or Chris Stern, the sort of stage manager who now hands the microphones to people. You just never know, and that moment is just absolutely priceless. Great example is the episode this morning where you had this contestant who had to choose between a fortune cookie and either a box or a curtain. He chooses the fortune cookie, and he gets so riled up about the fortune cookie, he gets Wayne riled up about the fortune cookie. There's this whole back and forth yelling, screaming, and then you think that Wayne is going to open the fortune cookie or Jonathan Magnum will open the fortune cookie. Instead, Wayne throws the fortune cookie at the contestant. The cookie breaks with a message inside. He opens the message and he goes, you know, you're about to go on a trip to New Orleans. You can't. It seems that the show is now at a point where, like, you can count on one of those moments every episode.
I think, you know, for this show in particular, it's such a show based on improv and who knows what's going to happen. And, you know, on our show, if something goes wrong or not exactly how we thought it was going to go, we don't reshoot it most times. That's how this show operates under those kind of circumstances. And I think when you have, you know, Wayne Brady's, your Jonathan Mangum's on stage at all times, who are masters of improv, and then you throw up fun, energized contestants, and you have fun props to play with and fun clues to things. You just kind of throw a playground of tools for Wayne Brady to use out there, and that means, you know, once, twice, three times, many times throughout the entire show, you're hopefully going to get those moments that are memorable and, you know, obviously make you laugh, just kind of special moments. And it really kind of starts with Wayne and all the things we try to give him to play with for success.
And, John, on today's episode, we had an example of a flub. Tiffany Coyne had her bracelet drop from her arm. She falls to the ground, and she's, like, talking to the contestant, like, you know, and it's a debate situation. He's like, no problem. Go, you know, just kicks the bracelet off. Like, no problem. Live television. There we go. We keep, it's just like everybody is, like, it's such a zeitgeist. We're going to improv. We're going to have fun. If we make a mistake, boom, it's on the air. No issue. We just keep on. We make fun of the mistake, and we don't let it get to us, and we don't let it get to the contestants, and voila, we make lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's the fun of, first of all, to do as many shows as we do, it benefits us to keep moving. That's one thing practically. But the other thing I think that comes out of it is, you know, I think an audience likes to see the behind-the-scenes things when something's not perfect, because that's like our lives. So something goes wrong or something changes. But we just kind of go with it. We do the same thing with our primetime shows, you know, that we kind of take that same mentality. You get to see behind the scenes of how the show works. And then when things break down, how we play with that. And, you know, besides Wayne and Jonathan and Tiffany and everybody being masters of, you know, improv, so much, you know, the producers have to as well. The stage managers on the floor, you mentioned Chris Ahern, of course, he has to as well. The people that do the props, if we need to get a prop out there quick or change something with a prop, or the prize department, if we decide, oh, let's change this prize because of what happened in Act 1, let's do something different now in Act 4, which we were going to do. It's everybody kind of working under those rules, which really are no rules at all, but everyone's in on the improv of it, I think. Makes it fun. Very special, really special show, especially special game show to work on.
Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, just got into the chat room. Hi, Rick. Welcome in. If you have a question or comment, put in the room and make a call, 646-652-2906. Something else that now makes Let's Make a Deal a next-level game show is the fact that the contestants get more time in the sun, especially when Wayne Brady asks them, each of them, tell America something that people don't know about you or what you do. And then that becomes magic, because that becomes then the jump point for – you know, if somebody has, like, the woman who got into the big deal today, this wonderful swing dance college student, to do a swing dance impromptu, or to do a song on impromptu, or I think last year you had a couple of people in voiceover talent, you had them actually do the Jonathan Magnum, you could have won this kind of thing. It just seems that it gives you and the audience, both in the studio and at home, more of a sense of here's who this person is, and that person gets a chance to shine.
Yeah, I mean, I come from a theater background where I was, you know, I worked with actors and everything, and I directed plays, and then I somehow ended up in this world. But I think I take that kind of teaching, like it's all about the actor and the performance. Here, to me, it's always, you know, it starts and ends with the contestant. If I'm not rooting for that contestant, or I don't find something to latch on with about that contestant, you know, I don't care as much about watching them win a car. So we always try to send them up there, you know, finding people who have good stories or likable qualities about them. And again, it's just another thing for Wayne to play with, you know. Sometimes it's funny, like VO stuff or kooky jobs, and sometimes it's more heartfelt stuff, you know, especially with our breast cancer awareness show that, you know, really dives into the heart of so many of the survivors or many people that come on the show that have, you know, more touching and emotional stories. We always try to help them get their best stories out so Wayne can then, you know, work with them. And you never know how it's going to go. We just always try to have it loaded up for Wayne so he can pick information here and there. But yeah, I think it's important to really root for those people that are up there, especially on this show where, you know, they got 3, 4, 5 minutes and then, you know, they're gone and we go on to the next contestant and the next act. We're always trying to get to know them as quickly as we can.
John Quinn is the executive producer. That's who you're hearing this opening half hour of Tomorrow We Televise on this first Monday of October 2023. He's the executive producer of Let's Make a Deal, now in season 15, every weekday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Pacific Time on most CBS stations. And coming in November, Let's Make a Deal's primetime specials return. We'll talk about them shortly. If you have a question or comment for John, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our good friend Rick Webb is already in the room, our super fan from Philadelphia. First of three episodes we're doing this week. We'll be on also Thursday and Friday at this hour. And joining us on Thursday, we'll tell you about an organization called Media Science that's doing some very interesting things, laboratory style, about how you watch television and how you might use television now and down the road. We will speak with Executive Vice President Philip Nomak. That is on Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. I believe, John, we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go right ahead. Whoop, that caller just dropped. All right, if you were calling, call back and we will get you. John, you and all the other game show executive producers based in L.A. Had to make a choice this fall about whether you would have a full audience or whether you would keep what you're doing, which is the audience pod. I know Price is Right is now with a full audience. By the way, their new studio is just marvelous. I saw a little bit of their show earlier today on CBS. What was the decision in terms of whether you would go full audience for the first time in several years or stay with the format you have now?
Yeah, I think for us, you know, with COVID, you know, so many shows had to change, and we obviously had to change the way we did the show. We went from an audience of 175 to an audience of 12. And so obviously that changes the energy and the vibe and the studio. But one thing it did for us, and we almost say it was like a happy accident in a lot of ways, and you spoke to it a little bit earlier about the contestants, you know, it became a much more intimate show during COVID when we only had 12 people in there. And it did allow Wayne to kind of, I think, chat with them and get to know them better. You know, we knew more about the people as they came into the studio because we knew everyone that was going to come into the studio back then. It wasn't just show up because of all the testing and everything. So I think through that process, we learned that, you know, is a good, you know, we would spend maybe some more time with the contestants, getting to know them. And so as we kind of came back, we really, you know, particularly Wayne and producers and CBS, we liked the more intimate vibe, the intimate feel of it, of the show. So, you know, the last season we ended up getting about, I think, 20, 24 people in there for each episode. And this season we did have the chance to, you know, go back to full like Price did, or do some sort of halfway hybrid thing. And so we decided this year, every episode we aim to get 50 people in there. But for us, it just became, you know, not as much of a free-for-all, crazy, you know, people running all over the place, and there's just this huge, massive people with Wayne. And they like the idea of more of almost like a high-end dinner theater in a lot of ways, or just kind of this more intimate performance that Wayne and Jonathan, the cast, got to perform in. And we preferred it in a lot of ways. It helped us get to know the people better in our sandbox that we're playing in. So it was a decision we went back and forth a lot with, but we decided we wanted this season to hit about 50 and see how that feels. And I think so far it feels right. It's not the big rambunctious crowds that we're used to in the past, but it's certainly more than those smaller crowds that we had during COVID. And we think we've kind of found our new happy place right around 50 people.
And along the way, you added two other things. One was the homies, having mm-hmm. the people coming and so forth. Is that, by the way, coming back? I know it was not on this episode. It was on Early Stand CBS. But are the homies coming back?
They're not. It's a good question. You know, that was another thing we went back and forth with a lot with the Ad Homies, bringing people from all over the country to pop in. We decided to do away with it this season for the biggest reason being is just technically lots of times, you know, I mean, basically it was a giant Skype board that we would have set up, and we all know in our own world Skype can be tricky enough. Throw in the fact that we're doing television production, we're shooting three shows a day, meaning we're bringing in, you know, we have, you know, 18 people up on those boards for numerous shows a day, and we're prepping them and getting everything set up. And we would have lots of dropouts because of technical issues. So at the end of the day, we kind of had to weigh how much are we getting out of this. Because when someone from a different part of the country plays and wins something, it can be a beautiful moment. But we had to weigh how many times was that happening with how many times were we having technical issues, or we'd have to go down for an episode and not be able to play anybody because the world of Skype that we couldn't control did this, or I shouldn't even say Skype, just the tech world, the Ethernet world, or connections being made weren't working out. Because if something's just off by a fraction of a second with communication and there's a delay, it can ruin the timing of comedy, it can ruin the timing of the deal. So at the end of the day, we decided to part ways with the Ad Homies on the Wall, for now, anyway.
The other thing that you introduced in the last season or two was the idea of theme days, Mega Money Monday, Fantastic Car Friday, and so forth, where in those episodes you guarantee somebody is going to win the prize by the end of the hour. And I was wondering how you pulled that off, because you have situations where, and I believe there's at least one, where the $10,000 was won at the very end in a quickie deal, as opposed to during a big deal, as opposed to during various parts of the hour going leading up to the big deal. So I'm curious, when you were doing those theme days, and are they coming back, how you know, sort of, it's like seat of your pants trying to figure out, well, if this person didn't win when we originally had this $10,000, how are we going to, you know, get the $10,000 in before we wrap an episode?
It's super fun. Like Mega Money Monday in particular, we are doing it again this season. And because we're celebrating 15 years with this new version of the show since Wayne's been hosting it, Mega Money Mondays on select Mondays are worth $15,000. So someone's guaranteed to win 15 grand. And yeah, we always know the first time someone's going to have a shot at 15 grand. And if they don't win it, we have always already looked at the show and we kind of said, okay, if they don't win it here, we can go and try to do it in this act. And if it doesn't work there, we go to this act. And if it doesn't go in this act, or this act, because who knows what someone's going to choose and how the show's going to unfold, then we'll often be like, sometimes we'll be like, all right, then we'll put it as part of the big deal. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't get won in any of these kind of places we've thought in advance to place it as the show's gone on, we'll have to do it in the quickie deals. And it is kind of nerve-wracking, but it's exciting sometimes. Like, all right, if someone's got a paperclip, they're about to win $15,000 or $10,000 in previous seasons. We try not to let that happen that often, but it has happened a handful of times, and it's always, I think, super exciting when we know that someone's about to win a huge amount of money, you know, because they know the state capital of Michigan.
In a moment, we will ask John Quinn, the executive producer of Let's Make a Deal, the plans for the primetime episodes. They'll be starting on Friday night next month on your local CBS station. And if you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with John, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. So what are things looking like for the primetime specials? They're going to be on in November on Friday nights, and you got some very interesting treats planned.
Yeah, we're running we shot a few primetime episodes at this point, but we're going to run three here in November. And first of all, with primetime shows with Let's Make a Deal, it is just like our happy place. Because, you know, when you're shooting as many episodes of a daytime version of a TV show like Let's Make a Deal, you really have to look closely at the budgets of the show and keep really close track of that. You know, you're giving away a lot of things in a given year. For the primetime shows, it's a whole different budget and it's a whole different deal. So it's, we're trying to give away some of the biggest cash values we can, huge, you know, huge expensive cars. So first and foremost, we love the primetime shows. We're like kids in a candy shop. He's just trying to give away as much as we can. And it's always a fun place to get creative too with the way we do that. So for this first one we have in November, it's a tropical getaway theme where everybody who comes to the show is given a suitcase of some sort, whether it be a little carry-on bag or a big suitcase. Everyone in the audience has one of those, and the deal that they do will incorporate that bag. You know, open your bag, you can have what's behind curtain three, or you can have what's in your bag, or there's a clue to what's behind curtain one in your bag. Open it now. And it has to do with lots of getaways, tropical getaways on the show as well. We have Shaggy on the show who performs as well with Wayne Brady at one point. So that show is just a tropical getaway paradise show. That was a blast to do. The second episode we're airing is a salute to veterans and the military in general. Where we have all people, either active or veterans, in the audience. It's all military, really. And that's airing on Veterans Day, or right before Veterans Day, I should say. That show is special because it is about the contestants more than anything in that one, giving back to the military for everything they've done for us. So that one was fun. It is also, you know, really kind of creating acts and shows and games where people have a really good chance of walking out of there with big cash, big prizes, life-changing cash, cars, things of that nature. Jordan Sparks joins us on that episode as well to play a game with us with Wayne. And then the other one that we're airing that third week in November is kind of what we also spoke about, that whole idea where we do Mega Money Monday where we guarantee someone's going to win something on cash on Monday. Or we have Worldwide Wednesday that guarantees an amazing trip on Wednesdays. Or Fabulous Car Fridays, where someone gets a chance at an amazing car on Fridays. Well, we took all those days of the week and made one episode out of them. So the first segment is Mega Money Monday. Someone's guaranteed to win, I think, 50 grand or 25 grand. Tuesdays, we did a Taco Tuesday bit with Tiffany, Tiffany's Taco Tuesday truck. Wednesdays, Worldwide Wednesday. Thursday, we did a throwback segment with old clips. Friday, we did Fabulous Car for the fifth act. So each day of the week, we put into one act of the show and kind of did a week of deals in one episode.
One thing we don't often talk about with game show executive producers on this program is the role of the director. And you've got a very good one named Len Goodside. I am shocked that he has never gotten an Emmy nomination for, because he's been with Let's Make a Deal the hour long for all 15 years. And I believe he has never gotten a nomination. And I think he ought to. I thought what he did last year, the last couple of years, under you, before that, Mike Richards and Dan Funk and so forth, is marvelous. The way he handles the cameras, the way he gets the intimate feel, but he also does the whole, here's the big picture with all the cameras and the lights and everything and the doors. He just seems to really, and he seems to capture, as we talked about, those impromptu moments so well and do it on a very, you know, spur-of-the-moment basis.
I think he has won an Emmy for directing on Let's Make a Deal before I was there. But I feel like he won one year. The show has never won. But he should win every year because what he does is spectacular. He comes in the morning and he's running this ship where he's rehearsing for 3-hour-long shows, and every episode is different. You know, whether it's a deal between this rugby ball on the stage and what's between curtain one and this small box. And he orchestrates and runs 3-hour rehearsals, rehearsals for 3 different shows at the beginning of the day, and then we shoot 3 shows. And to sit next to him in the booth is just like a lesson in, I think, directing. I mean, it's just a part of him now. He goes to cameras effortlessly. He's moving the show around from here to there. He's making calls on the fly. He's also telling jokes on the fly as he's doing this. It's just kind of a joy to watch him direct. But I thought he won one back maybe season 7 or season 8. I could be wrong. I can ask him tomorrow when I see him.
Well, if he hasn't, he should win. He should win.
Yeah.
He does a marvelous, marvelous job. What's been the fun thing for you, John, because you've done a number of – and by the way, Glenn also did a show called Russian Roulette on Game Show Network, which he was also given that – if you didn't know that show. did a spectacular job on that for two seasons. What's been the most fun for you to sort of take this format and bring it over the last 5 years to make it, in a way, your baby and Wayne's baby and Chris's baby and everybody else's baby on that program?
Well, right out of the gate, I got here and kind of started to get my feet wet and see what it was, and COVID hit. So I think first and foremost, it was adapting the show to, you know, this very unique time in the history of our lives, and how that show changed. So I think that was the first thing that helped me really kind of take ownership of the show in a lot of ways, was getting, you know, helping get us through, you know, working with everybody and getting through the COVID times. And out of that, I think, came a more intimate show with a greater focus on the contestant. So that, to me, was something I was really proud and happy about. And then, you know, just in these last couple of years, we've gotten orders for these primetime shows. You know, it started with just a couple, and in this last season, we got more. So being able to take beautiful, wonderful concepts that everybody on this show has done such an amazing job of, you know, putting together through the course of these years, and then taking it and putting on another level with Out of This World prizes, and bringing on lots of celebrity guests in a lot of ways to help with that. But so that's been in a lot of ways, making the show more intimate, really focusing on the contestants, and then being a part of, you know, bringing these primetime shows into existence has been a thrill. Like when we just shot two primetime shows last Saturday, and when we do those primetime shows, there's just a special energy in the air, because we know, you know, on a regular daytime show, we're changing lives. On these primetime shows, like, you know, you're going to be changing a couple lives in every episode. And that's just, you know, I think that's why a lot of us do game shows. It's a nice place to be and work. You're a part of something where you're giving to people. You know, no one gets done with a game show. Most people at the end of shooting a game show, whether they win or lose, they're still in a good mood. They had a chance to come on a show and be a part of something. So you're working in a place where everyone's happy during the show and after the show. That's a good place to be a part of. And the family at Let's Make a Deal is second to none. Wonderful place to be.
And it showed, by the way, with the episode that was on today with the swing dance person, who, by the way, was thrilled to be on, thrilled to be picked. Got a great prize out of the – didn't get the big deal, but got a great prize. And I thought that what she had to say about the fact, and it really, again, out of the blue, to Wayne, everybody in that audience, that her mother passed away in February.
Yeah.
And that, you know, no matter what she did or how she won or whatever, it was just great to be there and to be part of something. And it's like Transform Live right there. And that was a wonderful way to end the episode today.
Yeah, it's nice. I think this show is there for a lot of people. You know, it's on it, as you said, 10 a.m. in a lot of markets. And a lot of people who watch our show are without elderly folks, maybe, you know, who aren't doing much more besides watching television a lot of ways. Or I think we have a lot of nurses that come on the show and watch the show with their patients. And I think this show is there for a lot of people, and it has been for 60 years.
Mm-hmm. A lot of teachers, too. A lot of coaches, also.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people
in
the walk of life. And it is, as Monty Hall said, the marketplace of America.
That's exactly right, yes. And we used some of those old clips in this 60th anniversary Jubilee show we just shot not too long ago that's coming up later. But it was fun. It's fun to – he's been saying it for a long time.
Let's Make a Deal comes your way, 10 a.m. Eastern and Pacific time on most CBS stations. So check your local listings to the CBS station area and where it plays. Also, we should let you know that you can now watch past episodes of Let's Make a Deal weekday afternoons on BET. So check that out as well. So CBS.com for the Let's Make a Deal episodes on CBS, and BET for the Let's Make a Deal reruns on that network weekday afternoons, Monday through Friday. And don't forget, Let's Make a Deal comes back in prime time on Friday, November 3rd, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. And as well, the following two Fridays, November 10th and 17th, the big super episode with all the Mega Money Mondays, et cetera, in it. Anyway, John Quinn, executive producer, thank you very much for coming on. Congrats on how season 15 is going. Best to you, Wayne, Tiffany, Jonathan, Chris, the whole gang, Len, the whole gang and crew. Hopefully the best season ever.
Thank you, Simon. Always nice to be on the show. Always a pleasure chatting with you.
Same here, John. Take care. All the greatest.
All right. Take care.
John Quinn, executive producer of Let's Make a Deal, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow with Televised coming your way, but first, I want to introduce to our latest new sponsor. It's Sun and Swell, the online grocery that offers a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime, anywhere. You know, Sun and Swell, online grocery store with a fine line of healthy, great-tasting foods that come to you in plastic-free, compostable packaging. I'm talking about rolled oats, trail mix, apple rings, apple pie bars, energy bites, banana chips, that's one of my faves, nuts, mango, pineapple. And by the way, they're getting thousands of five-star reviews for their wonderful food and how they package it. You know, every item is 100% vegan, gluten-free, and free of added preservatives or ingredients. Now, if you're looking for a more planet-friendly pantry, shop Sun and Swell and get 20% off site-wide when you go to sunandswellfoods.com and use the promo code TELEVISE at checkout. That's 20% off your entire order when you use the promo code TELEVISE at sunandswellfoods.com. When we come back, we will introduce you to maybe one of the most unique programs to come anywhere on television this year. It's called Belonging. It's an anthology mix of animation and live action, and it comes your way this week on Apple TV. We will talk to the brain behind it. He is the creator, executive producer, and the star, Eric Fair, who will join us live from Austin, Texas, after we talk at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out the Possum Hour. It's a great hour of entertainment coming your way tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome to our second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised. This one is brought to you by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. Good to have you back. Simon Appbaum with you along for the ride. Welcome those of you just joining us at the bottom of the hour. 75 degrees. Absolutely beautiful here in the Big Apple after the craziness we had last Friday into Saturday morning. We're happy to have you along for the way. Another great guest coming your way in the hour, half hour ahead. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You know, if you were watching ESPN Plus and Disney Plus yesterday, you saw a groundbreaking shot of animation, live animation on the fly with the game from London, the NFL game featuring the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Atlanta Falcons. Jacksonville won it going away. Well, this week, if you catch Apple TV, that's a set-top box, not Apple TV, you may be able to see another big groundbreaking effort in both animation and live action. It is called Belonging. Joining us live from Austin, Texas to discuss it is its creator, executive producer, and star, Eric Fair. Eric, welcome in.
Thank you, Simon. Great to be with you.
Eric, how did Belonging happen?
Well, I had just graduated from conservatory, and the pandemic hit. And so I was looking for ways to keep acting and keep staying in connection with other actors and making work. So one thing led to another, and I got introduced to performance capture, which is, you know, you've seen it in Avatar films or in Planet of the Apes, where the actors get all dressed up in these suits and measure their body and their faces, and then it gets captured and put into a computer. So I thought, hey, maybe this is a way that we can do produce work remotely without having to be in the same space. And that's what got it going.
Explain what performance capture is and how is it different or similar to motion capture, which we become used to with films like The Polar Express and even some animated TV shows.
Well, the two terms are mostly interchangeable, and I tend to use them interchangeably. Some people talk about motion capture being the body primarily, and then when we use the term performance capture, it includes the body, it includes the fingers and the hands, it includes the face, and it includes the voice. So it's the whole of a performer's performance that's then captured and then mapped into a digital reality, which is like putting on digital makeup and digital wardrobe, and the entire performance, the actor just comes right through that other body.
If you have a question or comment for our guest, Eric Baer, the creator, star, and executive producer of Belonging, coming your way this week on Apple TV. That's the set-top box, not Apple TV Plus. Give us a call. Here's the number, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04, by name, our great superfan from Philadelphia, Rick Webb, already in the room. I've seen scenes of Belonging. It's very ambitious. It's trying to make it, as we talked to John Quinn from Let's Make a Deal a moment ago, very intimate. It's an anthology show. It's trying to showcase people's thought process, people's emotions, people's dealing for searching for something in life. Explain how the animation and the process you use works to bring that out.
Yeah, I'd be glad to do that. Let me just correct one thing about where people can watch this, because it's anywhere that Apple TV app is present. So it can be in your built into your TV, any of your iOS devices, or even your PC through iTunes. So it just doesn't require an Apple TV Plus subscription, but Apple TV itself is everywhere. So to your question about emotions, that's really was the driver. There's so much media that we make that is about spectacle, high energy, adrenaline, drama. And I love that too. What was interesting to me with these metahumans, so a metahuman is like a virtual person. It's a 3D model that's highly detailed, the little wrinkles on the face and the way one muscle moves and it affects the other muscles in the body. They're very, very well constructed beings that can be shaped and sculpted to look like anybody. And when I was watching these first come out, when Epic Games introduced these, and I was watching designers and animators experiment with these, I was seeing these faces that felt dead. If you've ever been to a museum of holography, you know, there's that creepy feeling where it looks like it's a real person, but they're not moving, and it just kind of gives you that yucky feeling inside. That's how I felt watching the exercising of the metahumans by others. And so I was curious, could we act the way we act, you know, which is great acting is not about paying attention to what it looks like on our face. It's not paying attention to the way in which we present or worrying about the audience responding or not. It's about being real. It's about authentically channeling and accessing true feelings and being engaged with your scene partners and, you know, being real, just in a phase-shifted reality. So I was curious, could we do this, that approach to acting, without paying attention to our faces or our bodies from the outside? Would these metahumans, would the data processing work in such a way that it would actually come through and affect audiences the same way as when they see live human beings on camera? And when we started, we had no idea. We just didn't know if it would work. And so to go on this adventure, this exploration, I chose 10 different scripts. Some of them we wrote, some we took from award-winning plays, Shakespeare, Tennessee Williams, Eugene O'Neill. Worked with Nikki Levy to develop 6 of the scripts from scratch. But different emotional characteristics, love, fear, anger, longing, not belonging, belonging, you know, just the normal stuff of life, but having enough of a range. And then I hired 10 different directors, quite a diverse group, you know, 2 women, 2 Latinx directors, 2 Black directors, we got queer producers, got some bald white men even as directors, you know, which was kind of the normal in this tech realm. And by kind of creating a matrix out of different directorial styles, different emotional arcs, and then different dialects, which use different parts of the face, you know, depending on where in the world you're speaking from. I thought that was a good experiment. That's a good way of exploring it. And that it turns out that it works. If you don't pay attention to the outside and you just source real emotion from the inside, it translates. And the suits that we had from Movella, the X-Sense suits, just all the intricacies of the body, and the gloves from Manus just captured all that fine, you know, the little jitter in the hand, you know, not just the big things when you're cocking a Glock, you know, but and then the face capture. We used Faceware for their phenomenal helmets and their software for tracking, and you know, we didn't have to adjust the way we work as actors to come out on the screen in a way that moves people.
I believe we have a call. We are going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go right ahead. You're on the air. Person dropped out. All right, call back or use the chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. Eric, any use of artificial intelligence here?
You know, there's not. There's not use of artificial intelligence in certainly in the generative sense. You know, when we talk about artificial intelligence these days, I think there's a lot of confusion in the press. We see things like being able to animate a person from scratch, or being able to generate a piece of art from scratch, or write a PhD dissertation from scratch. None of that kind of AI is used in this work. And that's because we value actors' performance as the actual material. Now, there may be some machine learning in the software that, you know, is making sure it adjusts properly to, you know, learning the actor's face and then mapping properly. But that's not the kind of AI that we're worried about, certainly in the Screen Actors Guild strike that we have going on, right? So it's not the kind of AI that concerns us. Those tools are helpful because they make the artist's work more efficient, but we're not doing any generative AI here.
We are speaking with Eric Baer. He is the creator, star, and executive producer of Belonging. It's the new short-form anthology. Well, it's a mix of both animation and live action. It's starting this week on Apple TV. That's the set-top box, available all over the place. And if you have a question or comment for Eric, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up later, before the top of the hour, we've got our classic trivia question. We're dividing it in two parts. Before the top of the hour, we'll have the answer to the question. We actually had somebody who won, but we could not give the prizes out, and you'll find out why. And then in our next half hour, before we leave you this Monday afternoon, we'll have a brand-new classic trivia question for you with our same four prizes in place. So stay tuned. You'll find out who our unique winner is. And then in the second next half hour and final half hour of the show today, we'll have a brand-new question for you, same four prizes in play. Eric, I saw you demonstrate the tools you used with Rick Howe on one of his wonderful episodes done through TV Tomorrow Show, Tracy Swedlow's group, Friday Fireside, or Talk Back to Television. And one of them is you rather than do the voiceover in a studio, you do it with something on your head. Explain what that is and how it works.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. So the voice is captured similar to the way it's captured in the studio. There's a boom mic or sometimes a lapel mic mounted on the helmet. So that's for the sound of the actor's voice. So what you hear, you know, person's voice coming out, goes into a microphone and is processed just like you were in a sound booth or in a sound stage. But what's different that you saw on Rick's show was that I had a helmet on with a camera mounted on the front of it. And that camera was, you know, just about a foot away from my face, and it's right on my face, so it captures all of the movement of the musculature of the face, and then that gets transferred over to the Unreal Engine and mapped onto the face of the metahuman. So if I smile, the metahuman smiles. If I wrinkle my brow, the metahuman wrinkles his brow or her brow or its brow, depending on what kind of a being it is. If I close my eyes, it closes its eyes because it is basically a translation of me into an alternate reality.
In a way, what you're doing is a throwback to some of the great TV anthology series of the 1950s and 60s, where you would have a leading star play different roles each episode. People like Dick Powell, Loretta Young, Jane Wyman, Barbara Stanwyck, Richard Boone, and so on. And in this series, you are playing a different role every time. What was it like to do that, have that responsibility? And was there any one role that it was tougher for you to be in that character than others?
Yeah, that's a great question, Simon. I love it. I love being able to have the diversity of roles. And it was born out of necessity because we were under quarantine and we were trying to do this on the cheap. So in terms of training the FACE system, we used a limited number of people. So it was part of the necessity that I got to play all these roles. And it was so much fun for me. There's 10 different episodes, but 25 different metahumans. And I certainly had scene partners in some of them. And some of them I played against myself. One of the episodes, I play a father and son driving along the Mediterranean. And it's mostly a monologue from the father. The son is having a hard breakup. And so, you know, listening to his father, he's kind of trapped in the car. And we shot me as the dad. And then I switched seats over into the passenger seat, and then we put an iPad up of the father's performance so I get the right eye line, played that back, and then I acted against myself. The ones that are richly emotional are delightful to access. What was hard, and switching gears, look, we didn't shoot any multiple episodes on the same day, so at least there was time to prep and recalibrate my reality into different people. Who was particularly hard? You know, I'd say Duck, episode 4 by Christina Mercado was a tough one for me because I sculpted the faces of these people. I'm not a 3D artist. It was the directors of these who are in fact the 3D artists and the masters of creating these worlds and the bodies and the costumes and the lighting and the camera work. But the tools for crafting faces, you know, is fairly straightforward for lay people. And so I got to do that. And I sculpted these people the way I felt on the inside. And this teenage boy in Arkansas in the Duck episode was so foreign to me as a New Yorker. That it really, once I got connected with who he was and his history, which became my history, right? That's the way to become them, is to remember these things, you know, whether it was the abuse from his father or the difficulty in getting up early to go duck hunting and then sharing it with this girl. We're out on a boat on a date, and I didn't expect to be stuck in this emotional space. That was a kind of heart awakening for me in a way that I didn't expect.
How did Apple TV, the set-top box, become the place to showcase this to the world?
Well, Apple TV is a great platform. They have incredibly high standards for what can be made available to people. And in my mind, it's ubiquitous. It's, you know, everybody with an iPhone or an iPad, you just don't have to have an Apple TV set-top box. You know, you can have a Samsung or an LG or an Amazon TV, and it's got the Apple TV app built right into it. And certainly if we were on Apple TV Plus, people who subscribe to that would get it. But not everybody subscribes to Apple TV Plus. So I wanted it to be available to anybody to be able to get access to it. And that's that's how we made that choice.
If you have a question in our remaining minutes with our guest, Eric Baer, from the new series Belonging, now running on, or will be running before the end of the week on Apple TV, that's the set-top box, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04, my name. And coming up before our top of the hour, we'll let you know the answer to our current classic trivia question, and the person that got the answer, unfortunately, and we'll tell you why, cannot get the prize. And then in our final half hour, we'll bring you the new classic trivia question with all four of our current prizes still in play. Before you did the this is Gang on Apple TV, you've shown Belonging to a number of film and TV festivals. What do people watching it have to say? What feedback did you get?
It was really surprising. A lot of people loved it. They found that they were moved, you know, and I sit in the audience and I hear people laughing at the places where I thought they might laugh, or laughing at the places where I didn't think they'd laugh, or, you know, kind of sighing or having, you know, oh no, these kind of reactions out loud is so rewarding as an actor and as a filmmaker. There were some people had a really interesting response where they just didn't understand what they were looking at. They thought they were looking at live action, and then they were like, these people seem just a little bit off, because they are a little bit off. This is not a perfect science. It'll keep getting better, but it's not perfect, and it's a little janky, and some of the lips look stupid from time to time. And, you know, like if you look at Rick Howes, I had some calibration issues, and so my metahuman was blinking in weird ways, you know, that I wasn't as the performer. And so there's some confusion there. And, you know, that's something that'll get worked out. And I think once people understand what they're looking at, then they can settle into just being with it as story and not seeing the surface of the technology. Because to me, the technology is just not interesting. I just don't really care. You know, I've lived my life as an entrepreneur before getting back into acting and developing all sorts of tech, and I'm just burnt out on that. So I just don't care about the tech. I'll use it. But what I care about is speaking to people in their heart.
Where do you see this going beyond, let's say, making more episodes of Belonging? Is anyone else following your lead in doing programs like this? Do you see this becoming, let's say, a new genre, ultimately, of television?
Well, I don't think it needs to be a new genre. I think what we're going to see is integration. For example, you know, the latest Harrison Ford film, the latest Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? They've de-aged Harrison Ford and put that layer. It's like a metahuman layer over his performance as a mature actor to bring him back in time, right? It's very similar. And it's integrated right in. In terms of the way in which we produce this, using Unreal Engine as a platform, makes it incredibly low cost compared with what the studios are used to spending for visual effects. And so in a way, it's democratizing the availability of filmmaking in this way. So it's not just about the actors, but it's the whole environment. You know, it used to be that to get the magic hour, you got lucky if you got 20 minutes while the sun is real low, and then that's it. Come back tomorrow if you didn't get the take. But in virtual production, whether it's in Unreal Engine the way we did it or with an LED wall, you can hang the sun there all day long and get the takes until they're right. So there's incredible economy of not having to be stuck with reality on the outside the way that time seems to pass. So I'm excited about the things that are going to happen for independent filmmakers, and then the way in which it can integrate so smoothly into live action.
And let's also count independent TV makers too. You know, before you go, a little bit of context. back in the early 1970s, late 1960s, Hanna-Barbera did a very interesting television series mixing animation and live action called The New Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. It ran for a season. It was on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock on NBC. It was a very interesting experiment where you had some scene, you had a mix of both live action and animation sequences. And I wonder what Hanna-Barbera would say about this idea of live action animation and where it's going to go. You certainly have opened up a door. Before you go, are we going to have new episodes of Belonging, and if so, when?
Well, you know, everything right now is on a freeze because of the Screen Actors Guild strike. And I'm a union member, and I'm standing in solidarity. So, you know, we're kind of putting a pause on making new things. Now the union's back in negotiations today with the AMPTP, so we're hopeful that that'll get resolved. But, you know, the way that people can be making new things right now is with interim agreements. But we're so close to the finish line, it looks like, that it makes sense to be hanging tight. And, you know, for Belonging, go to season two, we've got a lot of ideas. We're going to see where things fall, what resonates for audiences now that we can get outside of the film festival circuit and go to a broader audience and see what direction people pull us in.
You can catch the first season of Belonging right now or soon before the end of the week on Apple TV. That's the set-top box as opposed to Apple TV Plus. And if you want more details about the series, here's where you go online. It's HyperWatt, Hyper, W-A-T-T.com. It's HyperWatt, Hyper, W-A-T-T.com. Eric Baer, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on the success so far with Belonging. Hopefully what pops up on Apple TV, the set-top box, starting this week, begins not only a great long run for this, but also opens up a whole new avenue for TV producers to mix animation and live action in a very unique way.
Thank you, Simon. It's great chatting with you.
Same here, Eric. Take care. Have a super rest of the week.
You too.
Eric Baer, creator, star, executive producer of Belonging, now available or soon will be for the end of the week on Apple TV. We will have our classic trivia segment, first of two, in a moment. First, some words from the wonderful people at Liquid IV. Here's a new wellness routine that's easy to take, and it keeps you in hydrated shape, real hydrated shape. Liquid IV. It's a great tasting drink mix, in stick form that when you add with water, delivers hydration to your body faster and more efficiently than water alone. What's more, five essential vitamins you get, B3, 5, 6, 12, and vitamin C. Plus, three times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. 12 flavors to drink from, all delicious and refreshing, like Concord grape, passion fruit, and watermelon. Liquid IV is also gluten, dairy, and soy-free. So go to liquidiv.com to order, and you get 20% off using the promo code TELEVISED at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using the promo code TELEVISED at liquidiv.com. Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures with real hydrating. Time now for the first of our two classic trivia segments of this week, and we're going to finish off the question we posed over the last 2 weeks, and we'll tell you who we had as a winner, but unfortunately will not get the prize. The question we had was, complete the title of this 1990s Nickelodeon hit series, The Secret World, blank, blank, blank. The answer of Alex Mack. Yes, Lisa Allendyke was the star of that program. In fact, you can see her now in her 40s in a brand new Nickelodeon series that started earlier this year. And, again, Secret World of Alex Mack was a great hit for Nickelodeon. As it turned out, we did have someone who got the correct answer. Her name is Kayla Malenga, and she is from Zambia in Africa. Yes, we do have people around the world that listen to our show. In fact, I understand that now, according to Blog Talk Radio Stats, 15% of our listeners on a regular basis are outside the United States, in Canada, Mexico, Europe, Asia, and, yes, Africa. And, unfortunately, she does not have a mailing address that we can get the prizes to you. So, Kayla, thank you very much for playing. Thank you for listening to our show from Zambia, Africa. And we wanted to make sure that you did get recognized as a winner, even though we can't get the prizes to you. Again, we will have our new classic trivia question with our prizes in play coming your way at the bottom, near the bottom of the next hour. And when we come back, we will meet the executive producers behind one of the new series that is premiering today on In the Black Network. Executive producers from Crowned, Dr. Celicia Thompson and Jerome Trammell. They will join us after we pause at the top of the next hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and Tune.com, together reaching over 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Catch BTR next Monday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific for Successful Women Radio, the next chapter. One of the big popular daytime series here on BTR, Successful Women Radio. Always a great listen. That's next Monday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Monday afternoon. And this half hour is brought to you by Wild, reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon and Bob with you live from New Haven, New York. 75 degrees at the top of this hour. Happy to have you aboard for our final half hour of our first October 2023 edition on the first Monday of October of the program All About TV's Current and Future. Another great guest coming your way, actually two great guests coming your way over our final half hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and dial in. The number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. And we've got our chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Our super fan from Philadelphia, Rick Webb, is already in the room. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the source, other people live with you. Last month, we introduced you to In the Black Network, a new network put together by James DeBose, former head of Fox Soul. He was on our program, and it turned out it was one of our most popular episodes last month here on BTR and on some of our podcast affiliates. Well, today is premiere day for In the Black, and one of their original shows is a unique panel show called Crown, including the popular actress Vivica A. Fox as one of four co-hosts. Joining us live right now are the two executive producers of Crown. Joining us live from different places are executive producers Dr. Celicia Thompson, as Dr. Celicia Thompson, and Jerome Trammell. Dr. Thompson and Jerome, welcome in.
Thank you
Hello.
So much for having us.
How's it going?
Great to have you both. Dr. Thompson, where are you calling us from?
I am in Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta. And Jerome, how about you?
Hey, this is Jerome Trammell. Yes, I'm also in Atlanta, Georgia.
Great. Dr. Thompson, we'll start with you. Any feedback yet on the opening day of your show?
Oh, my God. The feedback has been overwhelming. And when we set out to produce Crown, like, we wanted it to be that girls' night out conversation. And when you look online at all of the feedback, it is creating the conversation.
Mm-hmm. And, Jerome, for you, for both of you, what separates Crown from other panel shows like The View, The Talk, The Real, et cetera, et cetera?
There are many things that separates us from the other traditional talk shows. First of all, we're not a traditional talk show. We don't have segments that drive our television show. It's really a conversation that's unfiltered, that is uncensored in four beautiful, dynamic, successful, respectful, influential Black women that are speaking their minds freely, and that's never been done before in this way. So that's what really separates us.
And I think
I believe
we
already
have
we have a call, and if so, we're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Go ahead, you're on the air. Hello. All right, we thought we had somebody. We'll see if that person does respond. We'll try again in a little bit. Dr. Thompson, how long have you and Jerome have worked on putting this series together?
Well, it really came together within the last, I want to say, 60 to 90 days. James had the vision. He came to us, and, we really had to hit the pavement and hit the ground running to get all of the pieces together, the episodes, the ideas. Like, I think our original list, Jerome, was like 150 topics. We had to narrow it down to four for the first four episodes. So it's been a wild ride.
Yes. And what
and
helps is that
explain the title. Go ahead.
I was going to say what's helping is that I've worked with James DuBose before. Felicia has as well worked with James before. So we already had that connection, and we already are familiar with each other. So it was really like family linking up and deciding to work on a project together. So it came together really organically and genuinely. It just flew. It just flowed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jerome, how did the title come about, the idea of Crown? Because it's not just a title. As I see in the press release for it, it's all about sort of each of these women sort of working with each other to, as it's quoted, straighten each other's crown. Explain that.
Yes. So, you know, black women are forever, you know, matriculating and navigating this world with their crown on. They're born with a crown. And sometimes you need your sisterly or auntie or motherly advice, or even advice from a friend to, you know, help straighten your crown, help fix it, make sure that you are walking with your best foot forward. So that's what it's all about, being vulnerable, expressing yourself, being unapologetic, and having those conversations that are sometimes hard to have, but that is going to essentially make you a better person. So that's what it's about, making sure that we are looking after each other, looking after our sisters and brothers, and we are straightening each other's crown so that we are thriving at our best potential. That's what that's about.
All right, let's try again and see if we have our caller on the line. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead, you're on the air. Okay. Keep on trying. If you can't get through on the phone line, use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. Again, Rick Whip, our super fan from Philadelphia, is also ready in the room. What are some of the initial topics that are foursome talking about? Dr. Thompson, that's for you.
Yeah, well, I think what we set out for the first four episodes was to really tap into their personal experiences around relationships, dating, marriage, body image, you know, relationships gone wrong. And it really is crowned, it's really for all women, but it's also for men who want to know how women think. And I think that sets our show apart. Also, we have a musical guest at the end of every episode. So it's very Jimmy Fallon late night vibe as well.
Yeah, Jerome, when you, with each episode having a musical guest, do you try to pair up the musical guest in some way with the topic that's being discussed?
So very great question. So let me tell you what happened. We were just finding guests that we all love, their voices, and finding guests who are up and coming, that are independent artists. We wanted to give them a platform and give them some shine. But putting the show together and putting the musical guest together organically, without us even having to try, it just automatically linked and connected. So the performances definitely connects with our show topics. The music definitely connects because they're very general, but they're also, you know, topics that we all, you know, love and talk about, and that, you know, penetrates us all. So it just organically happened that way, where there is a connection and link.
Yeah, which was super good.
It was super exciting. From one of the newest and original series on In the Black Network, which started today, by the way, on many smart TV sets and smart devices like Apple TV, Roku, LG, and Samsung smart TV sets. We're talking about Crowned, the co-host of the program of Vivica Fox, or Vivica A. Fox, Lena Johnson, Kendra G. Chanel, and Nicole Scott. And we are talking to executive producers Drs. Talicia Thompson and Jerome Trammell, both of them joining us live from Atlanta, GA. This half hour right here, exclusively on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Rob, I'm with you up the coast in Nueva York, 75 degrees, top of the hour. Happy to have you with us on the first Monday of October of 2023. And if you have a question or comment for our guests, make a call. The number is 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First, the three episodes we are doing this week. We'll be with you also Thursday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, the start time. Joining us on Thursday, we'll talk to the Executive Vice President of a very unique venture called Media Science, which has a laboratory here in New York and other places that takes a peek into how we use television, how we watch television, and how developments like interactive TV might impact our lives down the road. We will talk to Executive Vice President Philip Lomax. That's Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow We Televise. Dr. Thompson, how long did it take to get the foursome together, especially someone like Vivica A. Fox, who's done a lot of television, particularly daytime television in recent years?
Well, you know, Selena and Vivica did Cocktails with Queens that was on Fox Soul, and they did that show with Lisa Ray and Claudia Jordan, and Jerome actually produced on that. So they were already kind of connected, right? And so Selena and Vivica are kind of the arcs that kind of launched Crown, and then James has worked with Chanel Nicole Scott. Before, she has content on, she had content on Fox Soul, and now she does on In the Black Network. So then he went and got Chanel, and then we went and got Kendra G. And actually, you know, we were looking for the fourth person, and Selena actually recommended Kendra G, Selena and myself, to James, because we know Kendra from Chicago, like, for the last 15 years, because she was in radio and things of that nature. But and then it just came together. So, you know, the first episode, everybody needs to tune in. It's very spicy. They're getting to know each other. Next week's episode, which Jerome produced, is going to be awesome as well.
And just to be disclosing here, I sit correct. It's Kendra G and Chanel Nicole Scott, those along with Frida Johnson. So that's with Vivica Fox make up the foursome. And Jerome, with your previous experience with both of you at Fox Soul, how did you use that experience and take it over to Crown?
One thing about working with James Bolesworth, I have to say that I'm glad about, is that when you're working in said position, you learn so many other things outside of your position. You do other things. So I've done things from like script writing, booking guests, editing episodes, social media clips, and a little bit of marketing. So you learn so much. And because we were working with a small team, it was so fast paced that now doing this show is, it's almost with ease. It's almost with, it's so much easier to do and produce. It's almost like breathing. So those skills that prior just really sharpened my skill set now. So, no, it was easy. It was easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Thompson, talk about how you got into television and what was, like, your pathway leading you to Fox Soul and now this program.
Well, I actually started in my background is music, so I've been in the music business for about 21 years. I actually managed Selena Johnson. And then we got into film in we got into TV in 2011, 2012 with R&B Divas, a docuseries. Then we produced our first film in 2014. And from that point, I've done documentaries, docuseries, and things of that nature. And then I started working with James on the DuBose entertainment side and also producing content for Fox Soul, like the Mother's Day special or the Christmas special. And so I've been in TV and film probably for the last years. I'm dating myself. Well, 12 years. And so now it's just so fun because, you know, this is my first talk show. I kind of look at it as more so like a production. It's not really talk. You know, my background has been probably TV and film probably for the last 12, 13 years, just producing, executive producing, and then music combined with that. So that's why Crown is so, I love it because we have the TV piece, we've got the real piece, realness, you know, and then we have the musical piece. So it's just an awesome show. I think people are really going to love it.
Mm-hmm. Jerome, what about you? What's been your pathway in the TV world?
Yes, so I am a former educator. So I was, you know, in the education system working as a teacher, an administrator, an instructor, and I was doing social media and digital marketing on the side, and I would write about, you know, celebrity entertainment and all the things that were going on. And so that led me to making so many connections and cultivating my relationships within the industry, and then opportunities came. And so a few years ago, I started working on several different TV shows, talk shows on Fox Soul, and been able to work with BET Networks at the BET Awards. And so now here with Clown, it just was an organic transition that just grew.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Thompson, I understand that you're starting the show. Before we do that, because there's an advertiser that's also involved in the series right off the bat, but talk about, was there, among the early episodes, was there a particular topic that surprised you in terms of how your foursome reacted?
Well, probably episode one. I'm sure Jerome will say that too, and so you got to watch it. You got to watch episode one.
I agree.
Yeah, so it was the first episode we taped. We call it Black, Single, and Successful, and just a lot of opinions around dating. You know, this dating world is tough, and you know, Selena's the only married person up there, but they were very opinionated. So that kind of shocked me, but I think after that, when you see the next episodes, you'll see the chemistry. You'll see they're going to gel better, and person has their voice. Like, each woman has a voice and a personality, so it's super cool to watch.
Mm-hmm. Jerome, how about you? Same subject or something different?
Yes, I will. Here's the thing. No matter what subject they talk about, it's always going to surprise me, even knowing the ladies individually, because sometimes they have totally different takes. Sometimes they agree. It just all varies. But they have these different personalities, these different perspectives, and some of them are way left, some of them are way right, and some of them just sit on the same side. So you just never know what you're going to get. And that's the surprising part about it. And I think that the viewers who watch are going to find themselves loving one or more of the hosts in the same episode, or then maybe not loving them so much the next episode. It just all varies and all changes. And that, you know, with anybody, like, there's just so many different values and traditions and perspectives and walks of life that none of us are the same. So it's just always entertaining and spicy to watch and relate to.
Dr. Thompson, you're coming in actually with a sponsor alongside BLK. It's an interesting water that has very unique elements to it. That should be kind of fun, the fact that you're premiering with a sponsor that's like your official sponsor of the show.
Yeah, it's literally a blessing. You know, James has been steadfast in his vision and his mission and just connecting with people to be a part of our launch and the brand. And BLK water is really good. Tons of it on set. They call it Liquid Life, which is so cool, and it's got electrolytes in it. So they came on board and everybody was drinking water, and it was just a blessing, and it really worked out in just a magical way.
Mm-hmm. Jerome, when I talked with James on our show last month, which was one of our most popular episodes of September, he made it very clear that he wants In the Black Network to go beyond Fox Soul, to be a place for original movies, original scripted as well as unscripted series, all types of shows, faith-based programming and so forth. What do you think of his vision, what he wants this network to be?
Well, I agree with his vision, and I wouldn't be here if I didn't agree. And as far as he's saying that he wanted to go beyond Fox Soul, it already has. When you go to the app right now, or the website, or Apple TV, or wherever you're going to go to watch In the Black Network, you will already see that we have scripted television shows like Complicated. We have our talk shows like with the Jasmine brand. We have, you know, Crown, of course. We have their movies there. There's cartoons there. There's news there. There is something for everybody, from the, you know, the faith believers and the, you know, religious groups, for the people who want informative news, for the people who want a little celebrity gossip, for the people who want, you know, thriller movies and scary movies. It's something for everyone on there. It's like a buffet of entertainment. So we've already succeeded that, and we just, you know, want to let the people know where to tune in to fix your plate, if you will.
Dr. Thompson, both of you are based in Atlanta, Georgia, which has become a huge production center because of people like Tyler Perry and others. What do you think about the fact that we are seeing this incredible breakout over the last couple of years of new television networks owned and managed by African-Americans, by Latinos, by Asian-Americans, Native Americans, gay, lesbian, and so forth, that smart sets and smart devices are making possible, and multi-channel bundles now as well? What do you think about the scene in general?
Well, yeah, you know, they're calling Atlanta Black Hollywood. So, you know, we've got to go with it. And it's just it's a place of opportunity. And, you know, I've been blessed. Currently right now I'm working on a couple of film projects and, you know, outside of what I'm doing with Crown and a biopic. And I'm hoping to shoot some stuff, you know, here in Atlanta. But it's fascinating to see because the internet, you know, over the years we say it's a gift and a curse, but it has really brought us this technology where you can watch anything at any time, at any moment, right? And so it's just really cool to watch. And it's also, if you think about it, it is empowering entrepreneurs, right? And I know so many young people that are starting up their own production companies, their own film companies, and content is king, content is queen. And so it's just really a great thing to sit back and watch because, you know, I'm old school. So, you know, I come from, you know, an era where I've seen the technology just totally transform. And it's amazing to see. It is amazing to watch.
Jerome, mm-hmm. How about you?
Well, let me just say that and it's not a diss to any other race, but when it comes to Black people, limitless. Like, we literally are the movers and shakers of culture. A lot of things don't get trendy, don't get popular, don't move until we put our, you know, fingerprint on it, whether we get the credit or not. And so now being able to sit at those tables and being able to lead those productions and television shows and, you know, movies and talk shows, it's only right because we've done the work and, you know, built up so many different networks and platforms. So we're getting our time to actually call the shots in. Our vision, our gift doesn't have to be filtered through anyone else. So you get an authentic, genuine Black entertainment, which is entertainment for everyone, but that really centers our creativity because, like I said, it moves the culture.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Thompson, in a minute or two we have left, what can we expect, let's say, beyond this initial four episodes? What topics will our foursome talk about in the near future?
Well, I am hoping to get Jerome and I, so we could look at some topics around women's health, maybe dibble and dabble in a little politics, of course, more relationships, more life, love. You got the holidays coming up. I don't know, maybe we'll do something with that, you know, and talk about mental health, depression, holiday blues. We could be going on and on. So I think we're setting ourselves up for at least 10 to 20 seasons.
Mm-hmm. John, what about an episode about entrepreneurship, entrepreneurship in media? Because all, you know, this show in media, you're on a network that is owned and managed by African-Americans, by people of color. What about a segment about how we get more women of color in the medium?
Well, that's an interesting take because while our conversations happen organically, every woman on the show is an entrepreneur in their own right. Leading their own companies, their own LLCs, their own businesses. And so that is often slipped in just organically, talking about Kendra G, who has her own singles dating show. Sina Johnson has her, you know, own, you know, music career in productions. And then you have Lil' K Fox with, you know, her own hairline and stuff like that. And, you know, Nicole Scott has her own relationship platform. So they're all are entrepreneurs in their own right, and they all collectively bring those skill sets to the show every single day. So they bring that in. They talk about it. They talk about their experiences and being successful and how hard it is sometimes and what barriers they face as successful entrepreneurs, business women, and you know, moguls.
Crowned, co-hosted by Vivica A. Fox, Lena Johnson, Kendra G., and Chanel Nicole Scott, you can now see this series as part of the premiere of In the Black Network, starting today and continuing on this week on many smart TV sets and devices, Apple TV, Roku, LG, and Samsung, to name a few. For more details about the service online, go to intheblacknetwork.tv. That's intheblacknetwork.tv. And if you missed our episode with James DeBose, the founder and chief executive of In the Black and formerly Fox Soul, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, our website, smartlytelevised.com, or any of our podcast platforms, including the iRadio Podcast Network, iTunes, Zencaster, Creator Network, and many, many more. Dr. Felicia Thompson, Jerome Trammell, executive producer of Crown, thank you both very much for coming on. Congratulations on getting your series on the air and for In the Black Network to get started. And hopefully both are beginning today a great, great run.
Thank you for
having
us. Thank you so much. It is a pleasure, Dr. Thompson and Jerome. Take care. Enjoy the week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Both of our guests joining us live, Dr. Felicia Thompson, Jerome Trammell from Atlanta. Classic trivia question, our newbie coming your way first. First, a wonderful word about the great people putting together WILD, the natural enjoyment that's kind to your body and the planet. Now, you have to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly. Well, give a WILD a try. WILD deodorant is natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion. WILD comes in a variety of scent and color combinations like jasmine and mandarin blossom, fresh cotton sea salt, or my new favorite, amber and oud. Use it all the time. It is really great. There's no harsh chemicals to fret about. And if you want a refill, that gets delivered right to your door. Go WILD today with a special discount, 25% off your first order, when you use the promo code SIMONAPPLE04 at checkout. Go to wearewild.com and use the promo code SIMONAPPLE04 at checkout. And enjoy. Now it's time for our brand new classic trivia question. First with direct answer, you get the Uber card from AMC Networks, our two musical CDs, Chicago's Greatest Hits and Lifetime Limited Rock, and the Jeff Melvoin bestseller on Amazon and other places that is running the show, Television from the Inside. Here's the new question. Name the dog star of the 1950s CBS comedy Topper. That's the ghost comedy with Anne Jeffries and Robert Sterling, who are a real couple in real life, and George and Marion Kirby. Giving host with the most to Cosmo Topper, played by Leo G. Carroll. Name the dog star of the 1950s CBS comedy Topper. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and email address. If you're a previous guest or previous winner, you are not eligible. If we don't get a winner by the end today, post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, extra Twitter at UBCSimonTWT. In order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. Thanks to all of our guests for being here today. Thanks to all of you for tuning in as well. We are back on Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, with among our guests, Philip Nomax, the Executive Vice President of Media Science. The views expressed are those of the participants, not those of the Blog Talk Radio, the producers of this program. Andy Toes, Beat Charles, General Manager, Jay Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Smartly Televised was brought to you today by online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry face anytime. By Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. And by WILD, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday. Back on Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. You know where? Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, and all of our web and podcast affiliates. Whatever you're doing between now and then, make it safe. And, of course, make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.